Welcome to the Positive Disciple Podcast, where we interact and learn how to be and make disciples in our normal everyday rhythm of life by obeying Jesus and practicing the positive habits that he modeled and taught. Listen, learn, and practice.
Hello, welcome to this episode of Positive Disciple. I am your host, Mark Kolo, and I'm very excited to have a guest with me today on this particular episode. We'll be talking to a young lady who will be sharing about her spiritual journey into discipleship. And so tell us your name and a little bit about your background.
Right. I'm Prisca Juliet, and I studied in Garissa, partly in Moyale also. I did my high school in Western, and my campus I joined in University of Nairobi and did a course in psychology and sociology. Yeah, we are a family of seven, and I'm the last one.
Okay, great. I'm glad to have you here, Prisca.
Thank you.
And I want to just ask you to share with us a little bit about your spiritual journey. How has your walk with the Lord been? Maybe before campus, on campus, and after campus. Just share with us a bit of your history.
Well, my journey of faith, I would say it has been an up and down journey. I started in, I gave my life to Christ for real in campus, because before I just used to confess, but right now, in campus, that's when I gave my life to Christ for real. That's when I understood what was going on in my life. But still, there was no much of growth in my Christian life. So yeah, that's been my journey so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I remember that you enrolled for an online mission mentoring program that we run much earlier this year. You were one of those who participated in Ready to Run. And that was where I got to meet you for the first time, interacting with your material, your feedback, and our online sessions as well. Can you tell me about the difference between what it was like when you got saved and what your spiritual life is like now? And how has discipleship made any difference at all?
Well, to be honest, it's not really talking ill of the other forms of discipleships in churches, but there was no much growth back then. I used to be discipled, yes, to be taught about how to be a Christian and all that, but there was no much growth in my life. Mm. I didn't feel a difference until I enrolled for the Ready to Run mentorship program. Well, I got into it, didn't expect much from it, but what I got was a whole lot of things that I didn't expect, where I got to learn what true discipleship is, and it grew me spiritually. I didn't know how to talk to God at that point, but I learned through Ready to Run that I can converse with God, like in an honest way, in a friendly way. Mm-hmm. It's not looking at him like somebody who's scary and all that. So, yeah.
Okay. Mm. All right. Now, in your own experience and understanding, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What's the understanding that you now have, and how have you tried to be a follower of Jesus, having understood, you use the phrase, true discipleship? What's the difference between that and simply getting born again, attending church, and being a, in quote, good Christian?
Well, to be honest, before, I used to think that thing to do with discipleship, evangelism, and preaching to people was for pastors and missionaries. So Ready to Run gave me an opportunity, as well as Follow, gave me an opportunity to really know what it means. And to me, to this point, I've understood that true discipleship and following Christ for real is really doing what he wants me, what he has commanded me to do, of which is simply to make disciples. Mm-hmm. Go and reach out to people and let them know about Jesus and let them discover Christ for themselves. So you give them that opportunity they don't have.
So many people are saved and they are in church and they are doing the best they can to live the Christian life, but you've mentioned a distinct, a significant difference between just being a good Christian and being a disciple of Jesus, and that is the fact that we have been commanded to also make disciples. Even though everyone in church is commissioned to make disciples, but it doesn't mean everyone in church is making disciples. So disciple making, we often like to say, is the main job of every disciple. So if anyone isn't making disciples, then clearly they themselves are most likely not disciples themselves. Because Jesus said, follow me and I will make you a disciple maker, somebody who fishes for men. Can you share with us ways by which you have tried to do discipleship in any location where you've ever been in, and what has been your experience in seeking to, you know, reach people, disciple young people? What's the burden on your heart? What's the burden on your heart?
Well, I've learned a way in which I'm doing discipleship, or I've started doing discipleship to fellow young people, is through Discovery Bible Study, where with the people I stay around with, or those who we live together with, some of them are my friends, some of them are not even my relatives, but we get a time to read the Bible and just discover it for ourselves and give everyone an opportunity to discover the Bible for themselves.
Mm.
So yeah, that's a big way in which God is working in many people's lives, and I've seen my friend, her life is changed right now. She's not the person I used to know before.
Wow.
So yeah.
Okay. Mm. And that's simply because she's discovering from the Bible. Clearly, she is not new to church. So she might have heard sermons and teachings before, but now you've talked about DBS, which is Discovery Bible Study, helping somebody to discover Jesus for themselves through an inductive Bible study process, which also, you know, challenges people to obey what they discover. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's really a great thing to do, especially for young people our age. They don't like being preached to. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You'd rather discover for themselves rather than hearing sermons, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do this. Yeah.
Because most young people feel condemned when you're preaching to them. It's like you're backlashing them or you're attacking them in a way.
Judging them, putting them down. Wow.
Yeah, so Discovery Bible Study has really changed a lot of people's life around
me. I'm happy to hear that. So Discovery Bible Study is more of a self-discovery process where God himself teaches the person from his word with the help of a trusted facilitator.
Yeah.
And you've been doing that
using
the DBS model to help people discover God for themselves and apply the truth of scripture to their lives and their experience. Share with us the burden on your heart. Who do you feel that God has called you to reach and disciple in obedience to the Great Commission?
Well, the burden in my heart is especially to the young people, those in campus, and also, I would say, teenagers in high school, in primary, from 13 onwards until 19, and then also young people in campuses.
Why? Why young people in campuses?
In campuses, mainly because I have been to campus, and what my life was at that time isn't really what I would want somebody else to go through, because it's really a battle that I wouldn't wish for someone to fight. It's a big, big, big battle. So yeah, to the young people in campuses, because there's a lot going on there that God needs to help.
If you don't mind my asking, can you describe some of the battles that young people in our university campuses and colleges face? What are some of the things and realities that they are confronted with? What's the spiritual atmosphere like, and which young people, many of whom have never been discipled, are thrust into that battlefield? I hear you using the word battle. So that it's a battlefield, eh? So what are some of the realities that happen in that field that it has given you a burden, so that people, young people, don't have to confront, or they are able to be helped to effectively thrive and live victoriously through that battlefield? What are some of the realities?
Some of the realities, well, these battles that I'm talking about is that one, Christianity is really looked down upon when you're called a Christian in campus. It's looked down upon, or when you say I'm saved, it's looked down upon. So
yeah, it's not cool. You're not regarded as one of the in people.
Not in any bit. So many people get into campus there. They want to fit in. That's the biggest struggle people have in campus, trying to fit into groups and cliques. And it's really burdening because you find someone, you can't really fit into that clique. So when you're sucked in, you get yourself doing things you didn't even think of yourself you can do. So you get yourself into drugs, into like your clothing, you dress in a certain kind of way. Or you start going to certain kind of places where you never used to go. But because this kind of clique is going to that place, so I have to. So
So there's a lot of ground for compromise. So somebody may be from a, in quote, Christian background, Christian family, maybe even they got saved maybe in high school. But campus provides a ripe ground for compromise. They can easily lose their values and just follow what is popular, what is trending, youth culture. Am I right?
Yeah, because they say you have your freedom, it's your choice. Oh. Right now you're an adult, so you have the choice to choose for yourself what you want to do. You're in campus.
So campus provides, in quote, freedom. It allows young people who are no longer directly under the watchful gaze of their parents every day. They don't have teachers that are hounding them, or you know, in secondary school, you can't break bounds.
You're restricted.
You're restricted. But now on campus, you are free.
Nobody follows you.
Wow. So, but now, is anybody really free in a battlefield?
Well, I would say they're free, but they're tied up in a certain kind of way that they don't know, they haven't realized.
We're now talking about a contradiction. Where you have been offered freedom, but if I'm to use your words, they are now tied up. So are they really free?
It's freedom that yokes you up.
It's a freedom that eventually yokes you, that literally enslaves.
Yeah.
And we're talking about enslavement to sin. A lot of sin. Enslavement to spiritual bondage that was advertised as freedom. But has led many young people down a path of self-destruction. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us in regards to discipling and making disciples among young people? Any thoughts, anything you'd like to just challenge us with as we close this show for today?
Well, I would just like that many young people in campuses to be reached out to in disciple, like in true discipleship, not just discipleship. Because most of them, you find someone who gets saved and then they're left like that. They'll not be followed up. They'll not grow in any kind of way. So it's easy for them to go back into what they were doing before. So this growing in discipleship, discipling them to help them grow, will really help them to change for good and to become better disciples. So it's good to reach out to them, to many more. You'll find them, in CU, but they are not growing in any way. They are stuck.
They are stuck, even in the Christian Union. So they basically just attend meetings, go for fellowship.
It's for people to see.
But for many people, when you measure personal spiritual growth, it's missing.
No, it's not there.
That's sad to hear. That is sad to hear. I just want to challenge our listeners out there that we live in the midst of an ongoing battle. And this battle is not for land, is not for property, it's for souls, primarily. And the truth about it is that Jesus has commanded every single follower of his to recruit other followers through discipling them and helping people to become obedient to everything that he has commanded us. And so we need to re-examine the way we do many things that we do. Are we making disciples? Are we fulfilling the Great Commission? Or are we engaged in just meetings, church services, and Christian activities and programs without a definite aim to seeing disciples made. Prisca has just mentioned the need to reach out to many more people. Now, that can't be done by mass crusades or simply going door to door, but by multiplying, by making disciples who multiply, disciples who reproduce, disciples who replicate the process of what has been done in them, and by the help of God and with the Spirit of God, they grow to maturity and able to reproduce. That is what this is all about. So when we talk about positive disciple, it's somebody who is engaged in following Jesus themselves by being obedient to him on an ongoing basis. They are applying his word to their lives. They are seeing change and transformation and eventually bearing fruit by discipling other people. That is what this is all about. And if you are not making disciples, a friend of mine likes to say that if you are not making disciples, then you are making excuses. Because the commission is clear. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Beginning from where you are, just like Prisca is doing, based on the burden that God has put in her heart. Thank you so much for being with us today, Prisca.
Thank you.
It's been a joy to have you and to hear your heart and what God is, you know, putting in your heart to do as touching many more young people and inviting them into a discipling relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's it for today's show. I look forward to connecting with you again on our next episode. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to rate our podcast. And see you next time on Positive Disciple.
We hope you have been equipped in positive discipleship. Stay tuned for our next podcast and be sure to leave us a comment on what you are learning and doing to follow Jesus and make disciples wherever you are.